وسابقت الأحبة في تلاوته وأنعم حين ألقاهم بلقياه. ولي شيخ إذا رتلت ألمحه تقبلني من الإعجاب عيناه.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب أدخلني مدخل صدق وأخرجني مخرج صدق وجعلني من لدنك سلطانا نصيرا. وقل جاء الحق وزهق الباطل إن الباطل كان زهوقا. وننزل من القرآن ما هو شفاء ورحمة للمؤمنين ولا يزيد الظالمين إلا خسارا. وإذا أنعمنا على الإنسان أعرض ونأى بجانبه وإذا مسه الشر كان يئوسا. قل كل يعمل على شاكلته فربكم أعلم بمن هو أهدى سبيلا. We are going through the tafsir of Surah Bani Israel or Surah Al-Isra, and today inshallah we're going to be starting from ayah number 80. In the previous lesson we learned how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to pray special the five times prayer, and in addition to that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam also to perform the tahajjud prayer. Allah is still addressing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam in these verses which we continue with. And the first ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding him to make a specific dua. What is the dua? Allah says, وَقُلْ and say, O Prophet of Allah, رَبِّ أَدْخِلْنِي مُدْخَلَ صِدْقٍ. O Allah, enter me in an entrance of truth. وَأَخْرِجْنِي مُخْرَجَ صِدْقٍ. And take me out from an exit of truth. So what does this mean? Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, who he says that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to perform the hijrah, he told him to also make this dua. So keeping this point in mind, the scholars say that the entrance of which is mentioned here, the entrance of truth and the exit of truth, it refers to the exit from Makkatul Mukarramah and entrance into Madinatul Munawwara. Okay, so leaving Makkah and entering into Medina. Another meaning given by the scholars is that the entrance refers to Makkah and the exit also refers to Makkah. How so? So as he's leaving Makkah, it is because of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is telling him, make hijrah, protect yourself, go to Medina where you'll be helped. So leaving Makkah was with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he came back and conquered Makkah many years later in a bloodless war, he came, or bloodless conquest, he came and basically he entered into Makkah one time again. So he exited with the truth and he entered back again with the truth. So both entrance and exit refers to Makkah. Another meaning is mentioned by the scholars that it refers to the grave. So when a person, he enters into the grave, the command is the dua is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah, when I enter the grave, make it an entrance of truth, and when I exit, meaning when I'm resurrected, let me stand up with the truth that I am in the state of iman and standing in front of you, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one meaning. Another meaning, the scholars say, it refers to when he was migrating, and the very famous story that he took refuge in the ghar, in the cave, and the disbelievers, they were basically looking for him, tracking him, and they were standing right in front of the cave or right above the cave. All they had to do was look down and they would have seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected them and they weren't seen. So some scholars say that it refers to the entrance into this cave and the exit out of that cave in a state of safety. And the final meaning given by the scholars, it refers to Nubuwah itself, prophethood. O Allah, enter me into this responsibility of prophethood with the truth, and when I've finished and completed this responsibility, let me complete it in a very good way, so let me exit in a state of truth also. So these are the different meanings given to this specific dua. Allah says again, and say, O Prophet of Allah, Rabbi adkhilni mudkhala sidq. O Allah, enter me into an entrance of truth and make me exit, wa akhrijni mukhraja sidq, and make me exit from the exit of truth, wa ja'alli min ladunka sultanan nasira, and make for me from yourself sultanan nasira. Sultan, it has two meanings. One meaning is a clear truth and clear proof. Give me a clear proof that I can give to the people. And another meaning is, give me strength. Sultan refers to strength. Now Allah says, Ya ma'ashir al-jinni wal-insi, in istata'atum an tanfudhu min aqtari samawati wal-ardi, fanfudhu la tanfudhuna illa bi-sultan. You will not be able to exit the heavens and the earth except with extreme force. So here, one meaning is strength and force that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. Okay, so give me from yourself this strength and help so that I can fulfill this mission that you've given me. This was the dua given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make, and actually we can make this dua also. It is one of the masnoon duas that we can recite whenever we are about to, whenever we are about to do something. This is the dua that we should try to recite. وَقُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. And also say, O Prophet of Allah, that the truth has come and the batil, the falsehood, is being eliminated. It has been eliminated. Indeed, the batil, the falsehood, will only be eliminated. It is something that will be eliminated and it will not remain. Falsehood, truth always prevails and always lasts long. Falsehood, it always gets eliminated and it finishes once and for all. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to make this dua. And when did this actually happen? When did this dua actually occur? As the Prophet ﷺ conquered Mecca and he's going in and he is going into the Kaaba and he's taking a stick with him and he is smashing all of the 360 idols that are in this honored and sacred place in the Kaaba that was created for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, but instead it has been used for shirk for many, many years. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is smashing those idols and he is stating, جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. So the haqq came, the truth came, it prevailed, and batil, falsehood, meaning shirk, was eliminated. Indeed, this falsehood is something that will always be eliminated. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَا يَزِيدُ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا خَسَارًا. The previous ayah, or two ayahs before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, says, make the dua that give me proof, give me assistance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is responding to that, and he's saying that what kind of proof will you get? Indeed, we will reveal to you from the Qur'an that which is a shifa, which is a cure. Many people, they take this word to mean specifically physical ailments. You have a headache, read the Qur'an and it will cure you. You're sick, make ruqya of the Qur'an, it will cure you. And this is true, and there's no doubt in this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put shifa in the Qur'an in making of the ruqya. But the biggest shifa, the biggest cure that the Qur'an is for, is the internal illnesses we have. The weakness of iman, hatred, jealousy, hypocrisy, bad thought, and different kind of wasawis that the shaitan puts inside there. So it is a cure, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another place in the Quran, shifa'un lima fi sudur. It is a cure for what is in the hearts, what is in the chest, meaning all those illnesses that are in the chest, it is the biggest cure for that. So Allah says, we are revealing from the Quran that which is a shifa, it is a cure, wa rahmatun lil mu'mineen, and is a mercy for the believers. It's a mercy for the people of iman. And as for the ظالمين, the wrongdoers, it will only increase them. وَلَا يَزِيدُ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا خَسَارًا. It will only increase them in khasara, in loss. Now pay attention to this verse, because it's very, very powerful if you really think about it. Whenever we come across a verse in which a person is being told that such and such people will be punished, the munafiqeen will be punished, or the people who commit zina will be punished, the murderers will be punished. If a person is engaged in that type of activity, you know, he will become kind of disgusted with this kind of threat that he is facing. Why? Because he is doing that thing, and automatically he falls under that threat of punishment by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the fact that he is doing what is wrong. And as for the person who is not engaged in sin and he's trying his best to live a clean life and a pious life and an obedient life, whenever he hears the verses of punishment, he is relieved that he is not from amongst those people that is engaged in those type of sins. And when he hears the ayat which refer to the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the paradise and the fruits of Jannah and the trees of Jannah and the gardens of Jannah and the rivers of Jannah, he becomes ever more hopeful. His hope increases more and more the more he reads it. Why? Because he knows that he's doing his best to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his life. So really, this there's nothing true. I mean, all the Quran is true, but what Allah is telling us here is the mentality of the human being when he is obedient or disobedient. If he's obedient, he will get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through listening to the Quran, through reading the Quran, through understanding the Quran. And the person who's far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will get more and more further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the fact that he knows what he's doing is wrong. Again, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And we reveal from the Quran that which is a cure and a mercy for the believers, and it only increases the wrongdoers in loss. The more the wrongdoers read it, the more they understand it, they understand that they are heading towards loss unless and until they make tawbah before their death. And then in the last ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the last two ayahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the mentality of the human being. How does a person spend his life? And most humans will fall under the things which are mentioned in this verse. Allah says, وَإِذَا أَنْعَمْنَا عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ أَعْرَضَ وَنَآ بِجَانِبِهِ. When we bless the human being, he turns away, and na'a bijanibi, he gets further and further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so what happens? Usually what happens is when the human being is afflicted with some kind of a trial, then he will turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala much more. He will make dua much more. He's been diagnosed with some kind of illness. He will start coming to the masjid and asking Allah, Allah, take me away from this illness. Take this illness away from me. He has financial problems. He turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has domestic problems. He will turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this, as soon as Allah blesses a human being with money or position or something that he aspires to, then what does he do? He turns away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and forgets who gave him that blessing in the first place. So this is what this is referring to. وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ كَانَ يَأُوسًا. When we bless the human being, he turns away and gets further and further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ كَانَ يَأُوسًا. And when he's afflicted with difficulty, he becomes hopeless. Okay? Again, this refers to a person who has weak iman. A person who has iman, he has always clings to the hope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He always knows that this difficulty I'm going through, Allah will take me out of it and I'll become better and I'll become stronger and I'll be in a better place than I was before. Whereas the person who has weak iman, he becomes hopeless. And he says, he thinks that it's the end of the world. He loses his job, he thinks it's the end of the world. His kids start disobeying him, he thinks it's the end of the world. So trial after trial comes, and he becomes more and more hopeless, and he becomes more and more despondent. This is referring to that person. وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ. When the shirr touches him. The word used is mas. Mas basically means just touching. Okay? Touching. When evil just touches him, he becomes hopeless. It's only just touched you. And you've only been, you know, tested with it a little bit. You've only been pricked by it a little bit, and you become so hopeless. What if you were in this situation all the time? Okay? If we as humans think of our lives, what they are like, there are always going to be ups and downs in our life. And usually what happens is, if we reflect back at the times that we were down, when we came out of that situation, usually we were in a much better place than we were before. The only thing is that we have to be a little bit patient during that difficult time, during that downtime. فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed with every difficulty there is ease. Indeed there is with every difficulty ease. So this is what a person who has true belief, this is the attitude that he will have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells the Prophet, قُلْ كُلٌّ يَعْمَلُ عَلَى شَاكِلَتِهِ فَرَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ هُوَ أَهْدَى سَبِيلًا Say, O Prophet of Allah, everyone is working according to his intention. Everyone is working according to his intention, meaning we are all leading our lives in a certain way. What is our intention in leading our lives? Are we pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do we want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or is it just to fulfill our nafs? What kind of life do we have? Do we have, what they say, a purpose-driven life? Do we have a focused life in which we want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or is our life just about making money and being comfortable in this life? According to that intention, a person works. Shakila, the meaning is intention, and there are other meanings too. One is tabi'ah. Tabi'ah meaning a person's instinct, a person's nature, a person's work works according to that. The other meaning is niyyah. Ibn Zayd says, ala dini, a person goes according to his deen, according to his conviction. But at the end, فَرَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ هُوَ أَهْدَى سَبِيلًا Your Lord, He has more knowledge about those people that have the most guidance. Obviously, they are the ones who are going according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them and according to what the Messenger of Allah told them. A person who is not practicing that, then obviously he's getting further and further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah, knowing what it means, is that He's fully aware that what's going on, and the punishment and the reward will be according to that in the hereafter. With that we finish. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard.
مرحبا يا خير دار